Please turn with me in the Word of God to Revelation 21. There are so many things to discourage us in this present age, aren't there? We live in a fallen world. We ourselves are fallen creatures. And so, as I preached to you last week, one of the most discouraging things is our own besetting sins, our own battle with sin, which is ongoing, and we have these things that we just struggle with and fail in. And just the moment you think you've gained some maturity, the Lord shows you how far short you fall. And so we struggle with those things. We look around at the wickedness of the world and the culture, and it grieves our hearts. We grow weary of it, and we see the persecution and the oppression and the rejection of the world around us. And then there's a reality that death is a real thing, that we have sickness and disease and poverty and starvation and a famine and all the horrible things, and we have to attend the funerals of people that we love and care about. And it grieves our hearts. We groan within ourselves, Paul says. But in those times, God has not left us without hope. He tells us about the age that is to come to comfort us. And as Paul says, he says, I count that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the far greater weight of glory that is to come. And so we think about heaven and we find encouragement. We even find strength to endure, strength to persevere, because we remember this isn't everything. This is just momentary light affliction, to borrow C.S. Lewis's phrase. This entire life in this present age, it's just the cover and the title page. When we finally get to heaven, it's the chapter one of the great story in which never ends, in which every chapter is better than the one that came before. Revelation 21 and 22 are a great place to go when you want to meditate upon those things, because it's describing the paradise that is to come. And in reality, so many ways, it is Eden restored. So many things you find in Eden, you find here. You find the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. Even so, the tree of life is found in heaven. And the nations can be healed by using its leaves and its fruit and partake of it anytime they want to, day or night. We find the presence of God here, and which we'll focus on in just a moment. But as you think about these things, look here at verse chapter 21. Look at verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Again, God's presence, right? And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Here we are in a place where the impenitent who oppress us and persecute us, they are no longer there, because God's justice has been poured out and they have their part in the lake of fire. But God's redeemed people are perfected. We were made right and we don't struggle with sin anymore. We don't have to repent. We don't have to ask anybody's forgiveness for anything, because there's no sin to confess, no sin to repent of. I can't even imagine. We are in the presence of God. And I'm going to touch upon that again in just a moment. But basically, do you see what's going on here? God himself is wiping away all the effects of the curse. And there is no more curse. But there's two other observations I want to make to you. I said it's Eden restored. It is. But it's actually better than Eden. It's far better than Eden. Because the reality is, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And what we're going to find in the paradise to come is it's far greater than the paradise we've left and that we were banished from. Because we have gained more in Jesus Christ than we ever lost in Adam. So that, yeah, there's the tree of life, but there is no tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's no possibility for us to fall. Furthermore, there's no devil there. There's no serpent who can come and tempt you and entice you. He's banished. He's in hell. It's a far greater paradise to come than that which has been left behind. In other words, it's going to be even greater than it would have been if Adam had never sinned. Such is the grace of Jesus Christ. But there's something else here. The presence of God. God will be with them. We talked about in our call to worship, I talked to you about the different ways God is present. He's present in his omnipresence. And there's his abiding presence. And certainly that's going to be true in heaven. But do you recognize something about heaven? We talked about his manifest or felt presence. Do you realize that what heaven is? It is God's manifest presence. Every single nanosecond of every single day, 24/7, without the slightest interruption. Can you imagine the intensity of joy to know the full manifest presence of God for all of eternity? What a happy place awaits us, brothers and sisters. We should be the most joyful, happy people, even in the midst of this present age. Why? Because look at what was waiting us. In the present age, as David says in Psalm 23, goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. But then what's ahead of me in the age to come? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we ought to be a joyful, happy people because of these things. Meditate upon these things as I read the scriptures to you. Hear the word of the Lord. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Now I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Lord add his richest blessing both to the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated.